Welcome to Sunshine Studios, home of the Dead Stripper podcast. But a word of caution before you continue. Dead Stripper contains explicit content, such as strong language and depiction of graphic sex and violence, including murder. Therefore, this podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Forewarned is forearmed. And now, into Chapter 2 of Dead Stripper, which begins by introducing the two main female characters, Jess and Margot, best friends since kindergarten, and at least one of them will become Steve's love interest. Scene 6. At the same time, Radnor House Condominiums, Lancaster Avenue, Bryn Mawr. "He's being a dick," a female says. Her name's Jessica, but she goes by Jess. She's sitting on a sectional sofa in the living room of her 10th floor condominium. She's dressed comfortably in a robe and slippers and holding a glass of wine, half full, in her free hand. She's holding a cell phone in her other hand and talking to her best friend. "Does he know you got fired?" her best friend asks. Her name's Margot. "I texted him and said I needed to talk to him, but he never got back to me. So I called and left the same message on his voicemail. I said it was important, but he didn't call. So I texted and said I just got fired. Please call me." "And he still didn't call?" "No." Jess swallows what's left in her wine glass. "I texted twice more and called twice more, but the dick never got back to me. Maybe something came up at work." "How long does it take to text? I just wanted a shoulder to cry on, but the dick refused to be there when I needed him most." "Do you think he's cheating on you?" "Not until you just mentioned it." "Did you notice any signs?" "Like what?" "Like lipstick anywhere on his clothes?" "No, I never saw anything suspicious like that." "You know how I caught Roger, right?" "You told me a million times. You saw cum stains on his shorts." "Right. Do you ever check Pablo's shorts?" "I don't go snipping through his clothes." "Maybe it's time you started. Just saying." "So what are you going to do now?" "About what?" "About Pablo. First, I need to find a new job, and fast. I have a mortgage to pay, bills to pay, and still a few years left on my student loan. I have one hanging over my head, too." "How long did it take you to get over Roger?" "Less than a minute. Maybe Pablo's got some bitch on the side, too." "Do you think he'd do something like that?" "They all do. And for all you know, you might be his bitch on the side." "Maybe it's my fault." Jess sets the wine glass on the end table, gets up, starts walking down the hallway. "Maybe he doesn't find me attractive anymore. Do you think I'm losing it?" "Crazy talk. You're gorgeous." Jess enters the bathroom and flips on the light switch. She takes a good look at her reflection in the mirror. Then she tweaks her hair and smiles. "Guess you're right." "Exactly." Jess enters the kitchen and stops in front of the refrigerator. She opens the door and removes a bottle of Yellowtail Merlot. "Anyone new in your life?" "I wish. But 5 months now without a nibble." Jess starts walking back to the living room carrying the wine bottle. "Sorry you broke it off?" "Huh. Only when I crawl in the bed and no one's trying to crawl on top of me. Tell you the truth, I could use a good leg." "What are you doing right now?" Jess starts refilling her wine glass. "Getting ready for bed. Why?" "Can I talk you into going out for a drink?" "It's almost midnight. I'm already dressed for bed and have to get up early in the morning. We'll get together tomorrow." And that's the end of Chapter 2. Join us next time for Chapter 3, when Steve pulls away from the stripper's apartment building and gets a request to pick up one of the girls we just met.